The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin as well here from Circa Resort Casino. Still to come this hour, Kelly. What has become sort of a weird annual throw-in tradition for us? A field goal kicker breakdown.
Oh, yeah.
Wild card week.
Yeah, we didn't get to that already.
You know why? Because we never talk about field goal kickers. How many of these games come down to the kickers?
Yeah.
And maybe if, you know, all things being equal, it's just another little data point in your handicapping.
I enjoyed when you sent that over this morning, and I kind of chuckled. And then I had to tell Danny before the show, too. I was like, yeah, I forgot this has become like an annual thing, actually. He does.
We always get the one, too. He's like, why are you breaking down field goal kickers? I don't know, because they decide every game, feels like. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, he always joins us at this time of week, and we are always thrilled to have him. The playoffs, by the way, are here. Warren Sharp has a special sale for VSiN listeners this week, and get all of his wildcard weekend betting recommendations for just $19.99. That's an 80% discount. And as an extra gift, you'll get all of his college playoff semifinal bets as well. To claim the offer, go to sharp.football and click the top link. Here he is right now in the flesh, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. It's Warren Sharp from just outside somewhere inside the DMV. How you doing, Warren?
I'm doing good. Better than a lot of these coaches after Black Monday, you know, getting canned left and right. But it's really interesting, Gil, because, last year in the cycle, we had some really like elite candidates, right? Like guys that obviously offensive gurus like your Ben Johnson, who was there and people were scrambling, Liam Cohen, especially. Like, we don't really have that this year. We've got a lot of openings, but I don't really think that we have that guy that's just like, you know, so elite that you got to go get him and he might change your whole franchise's direction.
This is interesting to me because you and I, we briefly chatted just off air, you, me and Kelly, about John Harbaugh now being available. And John Harbaugh's agent, if you're to believe him, said, hey, within 45 minutes, we got calls from 7 teams. And again, noteworthy, as Adam Schefter pointed out, there's only 6 vacancies. So someone with a coach, if you're to believe him, called and inquired about John Harbaugh. Share your thoughts, if you would, about this.
I know that John Harbaugh has won a Super Bowl. I know that John Harbaugh leads the Ravens to the playoffs in 6 of the last 8 years. What is it specifically about John Harbaugh that would make him a great coach for your team? That would change the trajectory of your team. Obviously, if you've got a good team, you're not getting a new coach. So you're a bad team. You get John Harbaugh, and then what? Like, what magically is going to happen? He doesn't call plays offensively. He doesn't have some sort of a scheme or system that he's going to bring in that's going to elevate your team. He doesn't call plays defensively. If you don't have a good quarterback, like, what is he going to do? And I've harped on this for several years, and I tweeted it out again yesterday. John Harbaugh was almost fired after the 2017 season by the Ravens. They had missed the playoffs the last 3 years in a row prior to that season. And the owner, Biscotti, considered firing John Harbaugh at that point in time. They decided to keep him on for the 2018 season. They were sitting with a 4-win, 5-loss record with Joe Flacco at the helm. And they decided, you know what? Like, Joe Flacco got hurt. We have to start Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson goes 6-1 down the stretch, gets them into the playoffs that year. He gets them into the playoffs in 6 of the 7 next years and basically saved John Harbaugh's job, was the performance of Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson being brilliant, winning MVP awards, etc. Lamar Jackson obviously is the type of quarterback who changes the direction of a franchise. If you're able to draft a guy like Lamar, especially late in the first round, you've got a good general manager who brings some other talent around him, you can change your direction. How much of that was John Harbaugh? And in fact, I would say that, you know, when you've got a good quarterback and you've got a decent team, it's got to be the coach that gets you to the final, you know, the final level. Like, you look at the Buffalo Bills, I have the same type of opinion with Sean McDermott. It's like, Josh Allen's given you every single thing that he can give you. Why are you not getting to that next level? I don't know that it's Josh Allen needs to be better. He's elite. Maybe it's the coach that needs to come up with a few little tweaks in some of the matchups, in some of the biggest games in the playoffs, to get you over that hump, just like Andy Reid has done previously. So I just think that, you know, I think John Harbaugh is a very respectable coach. I think he's maybe a good guy, but what exactly should make him be like head and tail, you know, yeah, night and day, the best coach in this cycle?
I find myself nodding to most of that, Warren. I agree. When you're a guy who got the head coaching job from a special teams, right, special teams coordinator position, I think it only follows that you have to say to yourself, well, I mean, the CEO coach, right, the Mike Tomlins of the world, some people subscribe to that model, but what is John Harbaugh's specific skill set beyond that is an interesting question. If you were, last thing on this, if you were one of the guys making the decisions on one of these teams with a vacancy, who's the first guy you interview?
Well, if it's one of the coaches that was fired, I'm looking at Kevin Stefanski. I think the circumstances that he was working with in Cleveland were terrible for years, one of the worst franchises in the entire NFL. I think that he, from a play calling perspective and from an X's and O's perspective, does have the edge over a lot of these other candidates. Now, he's not the knock it out of the park home run type guy like a Ben Johnson was, maybe even like a Liam Cohen was. But I do think that he's a guy that I would want to bring in and talk to from this cycle. I also find it interesting. I don't know that he's necessarily, you know, head coach right away type material. But if you're talking about offense wins games in 2026 and beyond, the fact that I haven't heard Brian Daboll's name mentioned at all, I think he's really a good creator of offense and a play caller of offense, maybe not from a head coaching perspective, but if I'm looking for somebody to pair with a coach to bring in to call my offense, I'm definitely looking to get Brian Daboll's name on my list as well.
I wonder if Brian Daboll doesn't end up as the OC in DC in Washington. The OC, and because he seemed to love Jaden Daniels on that Hard Knock show. Was it the Hard Knock show? Yeah. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. Okay. As far as Wild Card Weekend is concerned, we just mentioned the offer for just $19.99. All of your plays, Wild Card Weekend, including the college football semis. I'm curious right now, as we do this on a Wednesday morning, what's the game that you feel like, not holding you to this, but right now you feel like you have the most conviction on?
So I'll put it bluntly, I haven't bet anything yet, which is a little bit atypical. Sometimes I'll come in early in the week, Monday morning, I'll work all night Sunday, get some things lined up and look to fire early. There's some things I'm waiting to shape up a little bit for this week. And definitely I was a little surprised with the availability and massive market that we were getting for player props on Monday. I mean, like pretty much anything that I was looking at that was already lined and is available. So I'm definitely going to be pivoting towards the player prop market very soon. The one game that I find to be really intriguing from a matchup perspective and a philosophy perspective is that Jaguars-Buffalo Bills game, because you do have a situation where Josh Allen and this Buffalo Bills team has been starting out very slowly in a lot of their games down the stretch. They're actually below average in points per game scored in the first half of games. And they've liked to play a little bit more conservatively, but they're going up against a Jacksonville Jaguars team that has the second highest pace of play over the last like six games and is the second highest pass rate over the last six or so games. And with Jakobi Meyers and this passing attack really taking off, like this is a Jaguars team that will come in and try to put up points on an opponent and do so quickly and early. And that might put Josh Allen, if this Bills team comes out and starts a little bit slowly, like they've been prone to do, playing from a position of deficit and position of weakness. And all of a sudden, when you got Josh Allen with no Joe Burrow to get past, no Patrick Mahomes to get past, and everybody's talking about, I know he's on the road, but it's like, this is Josh Allen's year. Like, they cannot afford to go down in Jacksonville and lose this game. I mean, they just, the narrative around Josh Allen without those guys in his way is, this is his year to get through to the Super Bowl and try to win it. And they can't afford to start slowly here. So I'm really intrigued with the offensive philosophy that they're going to try to approach this game with. Another interesting tidbit about this game, Gil, that I haven't heard anybody mention yet, but I went back to 2020 when the Bills offense really took off. That's when Brian Daboll came in and had Josh Allen like throwing the ball all over the field. They became a pass-first offense in 2020, and Josh Allen's career took off, and so did the Bills' ceiling. From 2020 through present, the Buffalo Bills have played 12 playoff games. I want you to guess how many of those games have not been in Buffalo or Kansas City.
Oh, wow.
Zero.
No, that's not true.
Like zero.
Is that right?
Zero.
Come on.
The only two venues that the Buffalo Bills have played their last 12 playoff games or last 5 years has been Buffalo or Kansas City. And every time they've gone to Kansas City, they've lost in the playoffs. So they've taken three trips to Kansas City. Their other nine games have been at home. So this team is not that familiar with going out on the road, going to play elsewhere in a venue that's not quite as familiar, let alone going to Florida. Now, fortunately for them, I think the weather's only supposed to be in the 60s, maybe a little bit cloudy. So it's not like 80 degrees and sunny. We'll see if that forecast holds true for this game. But I mean, that's another opportunity for them to just be playing in a different venue. I know they whooped the Jacksonville Jaguars last year in Buffalo, but they also went down to Jacksonville 2 or 3 years ago and lost 9-6 to the Jaguars. And then they played Jacksonville the next year over in London and lost to Jacksonville as well in London. So They did beat them last year by heavy margin at home, but this is not a familiar situation for Buffalo to be traveling on the road to someplace other than Kansas City in the postseason.
You know what? This wasn't the main point of what you were just talking about, but you know what we don't make enough of? You brought up Jakobi Meyers. That trade deadline move to get him, and I would say even Seattle, Rashid Shaheed showed up finally after a few games, and he's been a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Some really stealth, great moves by some of these teams that ended up in the playoffs. Jakobi Meyers maybe top of the list.
Taking advantage of those Raiders. The Raiders, just a disaster in all respects.
Warren, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much.
Good luck, fellas.
You too.
You got it.
Warren Sharp, everybody, at Sharp Football. That's where you can check out all of his stuff. Fascinating stat there about the Bills, I should say. I would not have guessed zero, but yeah, that's the case. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now, get daily best bets from VSiN hosting guests, real-time DraftKings and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Oh, we got a lot to make up for here. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Sean Kroska. So he's reading into the Aaron Schott segment. He's going, so saying without saying, he says Drake May for MVP and Puka Offensive Player of the Year. That's what he got out of it. Everybody's reading the TV. Again, he's just one voter. Teddy Rack.
I thought he did a great job of with everything, but with the MVP of splitting, it's going to be so close. It's going to, given the case for either side.
Absolutely. Did it well. Teddy Rack at Big Daddy Rack. He says, don't sleep on Frosted Flakes and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Chris Hartman, Gil, why is there a mockery of McCarthy versus Harbaugh? They're separated by 6 wins and 1 loss. Each has a Super Bowl in their career a decade and a half ago. Neither should be sought after. To be honest, they always have a quizzical look on their face during the game. I think that's what Warren was kind of getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Charlebois, Kelly's 100% correct. Peanut butter Captain Crunch, best cereal on the planet. However, I listened to a drug counselor addressing students, and they compared the consistency of meth to said cereal and the razor-like damage that peanut butter Captain Crunch does to the roof of your mouth. Captain Crunch, forget peanut butter. Captain Crunch, period, when I was a kid, would destroy the roof of your mouth.
All Captain Crunch cereals, there should be a warning on. You're absolutely right. Yep.
Larry Fresh.
Was that like a real story, though? That's incredible. They actually had a drug counselor compare that to meth?
I don't know. I don't know if he's making that part up or not. Larry Fresh, I like the way you do declare. Thank you for that. He's reciting guy lyrics, but putting our numbers game lingo in there. I like the way you do declare when we're listening to a numbers game. My guy remix. Thank you, Larry Fresh. Bobby Geddes, I got in pocket. Drake May, 100-1, MVP. CMC Offensive Player of the Year, 30-1. Bijan Offensive Player of the Year, 75-1. Dart Offensive Rookie of the Year, 40-1. Gil, I'm starting to think the CLV store is in the basement of the sushi place, and that's why you won't give it out. I'll give you half my winnings if you show me, because I ain't think these are getting home. Well, I'm responsible for the Bijan part of that, not the rest. Lawrence Carter. He's doing a 10-point teaser over there at MGM for even money. What's he doing? He's doing...
You can do 10 points for even money over there?
I guess that's what he's doing. Rams, Bears, Jags, and Eagles is how he's going. K-Flo, K-Florenz, who helped us out with so much of the Survivor stuff, says running an hour behind the show this morning, but just ate a bowl of Frosted Flakes, and it was great. As great as May has been this year. Stafford's MVP narrative, age, numbers, only two career Pro Bowls, questionable status for week one, back issues during the preseason. Hard to imagine that's excluded.
God, I'm trying to rush to make a bet right now, Gil. And of course, it's like, hey, update your app.
Joe C714, Puka 18-1 on Bovada for Offensive Player of the Year. They still have it up. John Blum got Puka 18-1 for Offensive Player of the Year in faraway place. Let's go. Driving in miserable gray and rain from Portland to Seattle. Thanks for making the trip go a little faster. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Colin Murphy with Coach of the Year, so up in the air. Kalshi has a 49-1 on a tie. Might be worth a sprinkle. Sprinkle me, man.
Might
be for comeback as well, which is also 49-1. The rare tie he's betting on.
I did tweet back to Colin on that one. When have we had many ties? I don't know if that number is juicy enough to really consider.
I agree.
I mean, the other thing I
understand the sentiment.
I legit don't know the answer to this, right? But like we had, I remember the year, right? It was Peyton and McNair got co-MVPs. Remember that?
Yeah.
But like, I don't even know if the voting system was the same back then.
I don't either. Let's clean up some loose ends here. I just went on this whole thing yesterday about OKC and about SGA. If you missed the show yesterday, I went on a long rant about SGA has not played nonstop basketball basically since the beginning of the 2021 season. And then these losses, I don't know. I think you can kind of draw a line like that. At some point, this dude is the least load managed guy ever. Like, his body's got to give out. What's his status for tonight's game?
Got downgraded to questionable about an hour ago. Sorry for not working that one in, but yeah, he's got a knee that he's dealing with.
You never want a knee.
And that is on top of Alex Caruso and Isaiah Hartenstein being out already for this team. The Hartenstein, I like that when he got added to the team, felt like it was immediately made a big deal about, like, okay, it adds another big man to check and play off of, and this defense is so much better. But then, like, I feel like it's been barely brought up when he's been out of these games when they've lost, right? It's like, he is, like, we all recognize him as an important role player when you brought him in. He's been out now. Like, that's part of the problem.
Hartenstein.
And they are now a 17.5, 18-point favorite at home tonight against the very, very pesky Utah Jazz.
All right. And by the way, we'll get into the whip around here in a minute, but I just wanted to point out that sometimes when I'm doing sevens, we had Greg Peterson on earlier, and you don't hear from Kelly. It's not that Kelly has left the room. Kelly just goes on a deep dive on stuff.
I didn't hear a word Greg said today. And so I love you, Greg, but I didn't hear a word.
We mentioned earlier that people are sending around Nigel Seeley. Was one of the people, but there's tons of people are sending around this this video of some lady who somehow bought her way in as a wild card on some low level tennis tournament.
This would be Egyptian Hayar Abdelkader.
I'm sure your pronunciation is fantastic.
I'm sure, but spot on, right?
Spot on. Anyway, she bought her way in. She doesn't even know how to toss the ball and hit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a video. She lost 6-love, 6-love, no surprise. I imagine being the other player, like, are we kidding here?
She made 20 faults in just 37 minutes.
Wow.
She did win 3 points.
Oh.
All of them mistakes by the opponent. apparently, she was lining up on the wrong side for service. The opponent had to walk her through, basically, the entire time. Like, you need to stand over there.
Anyway, what was your deep dive about?
Okay, hold on.
What were you deep diving about?
I pulled up a whole article here. Despite the lack of a match practice, she apparently received a wild card for the tournament, which caused astonishment and ridicule in the tennis world, right? So my question, when we first heard about this, was, how do you get this? Like, can you just pay for this? Do you have to play, right? So Isaiah Wrinkle walked by, our production manager. I think that's his title, whatever.
We don't know.
Yeah.
He may not work here
the
anymore.
Big cheese.
Maybe he just hangs out here.
He might just hang out in the mornings. Yeah. I want to get Isaiah or someone on the crew, like, into a tennis tournament and have the same exact thing happen, because that would be wildly funny.
What's the cost?
Now, the problem is, okay, here's the thing. Really, this is from former players, okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
To play in the ITF Futures Tournament, okay, which she did. This is an ITF Futures Tournament.
Okay.
You need to have an IPIN, Gil, an International Players Identification Number from the ITF. That will cost you a total of $65. Then you have to enter the tournament that you want to play in, which will cost you $50.
This is cheap as hell, right? Now, what people can't figure out about this specifics is that will get you into the qualifier pool.
Didn't have to play a quali.
People can't figure out why she didn't have to play some type of qualifier. So
that's what happened.
For me to really rig this thing, I would have to buy multiple entries and hope that they meet each other somehow in qualifiers, and then we have
it's
a walkover
like,
situation.
Like the guys who buy 100 Survivor entries. And they
Right, exactly. That's how we would have to game it, right? Now, the interesting note, though, she received $297 American for that match. Even losing a match at that level will still get you money. So if you're doing out the whole cost of what it's going to take me to get wild card entrance into a tournament, as long as they lose, they're still making money.
Deeper dive than I wanted, but I appreciate your thoroughness.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to figure out how we can get Isaiah Wrinkle into a tennis tournament.
If you ever wonder what Kelly was doing here during when Greg's on, there you go. Shall we do a little whip around college football style to begin with? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Whip around.
The guys check in on all the NFL line movement, injury updates, and give their thoughts on every game on the board. It's the Wednesday Whip Around.
Cool whip. Let's do the college games first. We'll add the bonus college games here. Tomorrow night, Miami and Ole Miss. Miami now a 3-point favorite, extra juice versus Ole Miss. I bought this down to 2.5 on Monday morning. 3 now.
It's mainly 3.5.
Let's put it this way. This one, to me, as great as I think Miami is, and I do think it's a great matchup for Miami with that defense against a great Ole Miss. I mean, Trinidad Chambliss is awesome. But I do think those men amongst boys in that Miami defense is a great matchup against Ole Miss. But I'm a little more concerned about this one than I am the other one. Like, is there a scenario where I can see Ole Miss rising up and doing this? I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree. I do believe Miami should be the favorite here. But it's not without trepidation. Unlike the other game, Friday night, between the Hoosiers and Oregon, which Oregon has taken some money in this game, and I just don't understand. Let's put it this way. I don't think it's justified, right? I bet Indiana -4 early in the week. I got the worst of it. By the way, I bet some -3 on top of it yesterday. Now it's -3.5. To me, this comes down to if these Indiana Hoosiers had on a different uniform this year, right? Forget Alabama. Just any SEC. Let's say they were an SEC team.
Yeah, yep.
Nobody would be putting money on Oregon here. I really believe this. Like, there's still the brand bias in college football is such that I still think it's affecting markets against Indiana when there's no chance it should. I know it's tough to beat teams back-to-back. That's what everybody's going to tell you. But I think Indiana, this is why I bet them 10-1 to win it all. I think they are the best team in college football. I said when they beat Oregon the first time, I don't think there's a team out there they can't beat. I think they win this one handily.
Okay, two comments real quick. Do you think this is de facto national championship game?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do not at all.
Do we see Miami Ole Miss get to two? Where do we close on both these games?
Right where they are currently.
Yeah, okay. Kind of have
might move till before kickoff, but I think we end up right where we are. Coming back with the NFL portion next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game. Circa. Gil. Kelly. Radio's Gil Alexander. Television's Kelly Bidlin, everybody. That's right. You can follow Kelly on Twitter at Kelly Bidlon. K-E-L-L-E-Y B-Y-D-L-O-N.
Nailed it.
Thank you. We get tweets. Ben Handorf. Hey, Gil. Off of work and loving the live ANG. Forgot to mention yesterday, but Drew's segment should be introed with country clubbing. As the husband of a locally famous bar manager slash cocktail maven, Drew is spot on. Also, who doesn't have a trusted importer? I can't think of anyone, Ben. He also says, hey, Kelly, how are you able to bottle the rage when staring at Warren's Christmas tree here on January 7th?
You know what? So just a great tweet, because you're right. It does.
And Warren, by the way, tweets back and he fesses up. He goes, inexcusable by me.
Yeah, he was embarrassed, as he should be.
Have intended to have that thing at the curb for days, but been too busy with these NFL college football playoff games. Apologies.
You know what? Warren was looking sharp this morning.
He was.
I thought he was dressed very. I liked what he was wearing.
Yeah.
That distracted me more than the Christmas tree, I guess.
Oh, you're into him. Tim Bowers says, I don't want Todd to feel left out. Could we get a wine recommendation from him as well? Can't wait for Todd and Drew on the Megapod this week. Megapod tomorrow with Drew Dinsett. Can't wait. James Fessler, among the many trying to read between the lines on Aaron Schatz's ballot earlier
as one of the award voters. He says Tedrow McMillan play elevated young and got Carolina in the playoffs. That's for Offensive Rookie of the Year. He thinks Ty Warren is second behind McMillan. Harold Fannin Jr. third, 4-5, two random offensive linemen because he's not drawn to shiny counting stats. Maybe. You might be right. This is from Chad Lasso. Can you explain how the order book works on Kelce, looking at betting in on Puka for Offensive Player of the Year and that way to buy caught my eye. Thanks. The order book.
Bro, I don't know. We're in sports. We're sports fan mode. You did a good trader. Do I answer?
I could be missing something on Kelce, but I'm not sure. What
I think
meant.
You could pull
there's a mode you, that you're betting in. In
I
other
think
words?
That is to put an order in right if it hits a certain price.
Oh,
I think
gotcha.
That's what that is, like but a, I am like not
a,
sure.
Like a buy or a put order in stock market. Rick Roll 515. Interesting pool years ago. Me and four fellas each threw in $100, drew one of the bottom five preseason Vegas odds teams to win the Super Bowl, $50 each year, until one wins it. If I have I have the Texans, others have Seahawks, Jaguars, and Bears. First time four of the five teams are in. Oh, that is pretty interesting. You get that?
Say it again.
So $100, he and his four buddies, they throw in $100 at the beginning of the year and each draws one of the bottom five preseason Vegas odds teams.
Oh,
he says four of the five are in the playoffs. Texans, Seahawks, Jags, and Bears. Were those four of the bottom five, though? Really? They can't
for
be four.
Super Bowl odds?
They were down there. I'm not sure there were four of the bottom five, but maybe where they were looking at the time.
But, like, you know how that works beginning of the year. They could have all, like, there's probably six teams tied with the same odds at the bottom, you know?
Mike Rouse, do we know if odds were posted on the tennis match in question? That's a good point. Jeff Isaacs, my wife played college tennis and I was basketball. She has gotten me to play against her and I legit look like that woman who bought her way into the tournament. Tennis is hard. Tennis is the greatest combo of physical and mental.
Danny keeps yelling he could beat Isaiah. I'm like, I don't want anybody who's good. Isaiah said he's never played before. That's why I'm trying to enter him.
Brian M., what you should do is enter Ben Wilson for the tournament in Vegas, get tickets, and make poster boards that say Iga Slanderer. That's true, I should. And Brandon Fear, maybe she got last in her fantasy football league. That's true. That's true about that player. Oh, man.
I love the detail that she ended up making money through this entire thing.
And Rick Ollier with my thoughts. He goes, you can buy your way into professional tennis tournaments now? Toddy, now's your time to shine. Talking about Wishnow.
It's wild, man. Shout out real quick before we get to the NFL. The crew, I don't know why they're talking about it back there, but underrated gambling movie, Hardball.
Never seen it.
Brought up on the show like 6 weeks ago. Apparently nobody remembers. Keanu Reeves, man. He's in a massive gambling debt. He has to go coach like an inner city baseball team.
Whoa.
This is one of two movies, Gil.
I lost another bet.
Two movies. I will add this note. The crew will think this is funny. This is one of two movies that I can vividly remember my mother crying at a certain point and me thinking it was odd.
Really?
It was odd that she was crying. And this way, there's a sad moment in the film, okay? But the other movie would be Transformers. Mm. She got very emotional during the first viewing of Transformers during when one of the robot cars was
really?
Dying. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
She's a complex person.
Wow.
Sue Cliff, coming to town this weekend.
Bring your mom on.
Yeah, she'll be here this weekend.
Back to the whip around. Rams, Panthers to kick off NFL wildcard weekend. Rams are up to an 11-point favorite. Will was on the show, Will Hill, earlier. He's on the Rams laying the number. We had Andy Molitor on earlier in the week. He said he can't get to that number. If anything, mm-hmm. it's the Panthers plus the points. I'm with Andy. I have not made a bet in this game. Total's 46.5. But if anything, man, could I see a Rams blowout? I could. But boy, it's really disrespectful to the Panthers. Panthers beat the Rams earlier this year.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are.
I have nothing in the game. I did see somebody tweet this at us earlier. Yeah, when this went above 10-point teaser.
We're getting a little crazy now.
10-point teaser thoughts did enter my head.
Packers at Bears. We are back to the
right.
to the Packers being a favorite here. This is flip-flopped all week long. Packers now a 1.5-point favorite after being a 1.5-point dog on the other side. Expect this to continue to go back and forth.
Yep.
One might. Total's 46. I'm on the Bears. It's a hunch play for me. I had Bears minus one, by the way. I just feel like the Bears magic carpet ride lasts one more week, and I have a feeling that the Packers' rest last week comes back to nip them in the butt.
I have both sides teased up. I think we get a close game, good game in that one. I think it could either way or either side. I don't think it would shock me. I have both teased with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And like you said, I think there is opportunity to do that this week. I don't think that's the last time we see that number bounce between favorites.
Bills, Jaguars. I'm on the Jaguars. I bet them on the money line, minus 108 during guessing lines. I thought this line was disrespectful that the Bills were favored. I guess that the Jaguars would be. The only thing that worries me is I'm not the only one who felt that way. Every human being on earth appears to feel that way.
Yeah.
About this.
Yeah, I jumped on it too immediately. That was the other teaser leg. Both those teasers I just mentioned tied into the Jags up to 7.5. And I bet Jags money line too. That's the one. It's the one, right? Multiple people have said, like, that was the one that surprised me on the openers. It legit surprised me where the number's at.
Yep.
And if we lose it, I'll speak for myself. If we lose it, I'll be happy to see Josh Allen advance in the playoffs and hopefully gives us a good run.
Tip of the cap. In addition for me to being on the Bears and the Jags, I'm also on the Niners, but I got the worst of this. I got Niners plus 3.5. I thought it was going to come the other way, and I think it did for a tick to 3, if I'm not mistaken. It's back to 4.5 now in favor of the Eagles, who are looking to flip the switch and make another Super Bowl run. They are, after all, this just in, Kelly, the defending champion.
There were, some cheap threes. Like, I got a 3 on open at Eagles, 115. So I'm on Philly side. The other one I was bringing up real quick is just keep an eye if you are betting Bears-Packers, keep an eye on the weather there. As we get closer to that game, looks like it is going to be very, very big chance of rain at least. Oh, boy. Colder with periods of snow and rain becoming breezy in the afternoon. Wind gusts up to 31 miles an hour right now.
That's in Philly?
Chicago.
Chicago. Yep. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Last game of the three on Sunday. Chargers-Patriots. I have said this before. Of all the games, this is the most fascinating one to me. Mm-hmm. I am on the Chargers plus the points. I am on the Chargers on the money line. As I made those bets Monday morning on guessing lines, I have been weekly higher than the market is on the Chargers. I think their defense is really good. I think it's well-disciplined. They don't make any mistakes on that defense typically. Second, third best defense at worst in the AFC playoffs behind the Texans and the Broncos. Second best quarterback in the AFC playoffs. If I give you Josh Allen, I'll take Justin Herbert second. And the Patriots' schedule was just as easy as could be. Aaron Schatz had historically easy, though he did said the two teams that had the easier schedules ended up getting to the Super Bowl. So there's that. But I'm on the Chargers.
At one game, that's the one game I've got nothing in. No. Don't expect to be involved. The only way I would get involved in that game is if the New England dropped a 3 somehow, and I would be on the New England side.
I don't have any. I don't have anything in the Rams Panthers at the beginning of the wild card weekend.
Oh, yeah,
I don't have anything at the end of Monday Night Football. Texans are 3-point favorites now. Traveling to play Pittsburgh at Acrisure. Minus 3 in favor of the Texans.
I'm going to guess there's a lot of people out there like me that if you bet the Ravens last week at this same number, you're probably on the Texans as well. I think I'm getting a better team than what I bet on last week at the same exact number. Yeah, I'm in on Houston.
Boy, this would not shock me if the Steelers pulled off an upset.
It's the Steelers at home, yeah, Monday night. It's going to be a brutal, brutal environment for C.J. Stroud to go in and pick up a win. But, man, that Texans defense is so good.
It is, by the way, 39.5 the total. What's the total in that Bears-Packers game right now?
That 45-ish?
45-ish.
45.5 right now.
45.5, we're seeing consensus on that. So
it's early still. It's early.
Man, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Does it get any better than that? We'll come back. We'll break down the field goal kickers on all these. A little bit of a quirky numbers game tradition before the playoffs begin. And we'll recap all the bets. Coming back on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Love our listeners so much because they clarify, you know, they follow up on everything that we're talking about. Brian M. points out, he says, I think the spoiler alert isn't needed for Hardball. since it came out September 10th, 2001.
Gil hasn't seen it yet, okay? I don't want him to be spoiled.
Wait, Hardball came out the day before 9/11?
Wow.
Oh, wow. So that's, there, it explains why I haven't seen it, maybe. There's a lot of
Is
stuff.
Really, that would have been a Monday? Came out on a Monday?
Yeah.
Ugh. Jesse, movies come out on Monday.
Jesse Welch, for anybody who has ever had it, they will say that the Oreos O's cereal is hands down the best ever. That's the Oreos O's cereal, hands down the best ever, but it's only ever available at random times. Oh, have you ever had a cereal that you love that disappeared off the shelves, never to be remade again?
No.
I do. Honey Bunches of Oats used to have just oats.
Really?
Bro, it was crack.
You know what's gone? You know what's amazing? That you just brought that up. My next question for you was going to be like, all right, what's, you know, throw out the good, the bad cereals. What's the steadiest, most reliable? You just said it.
Honey Bunches of Oats?
Honey Bunches of Oats.
I would have said Raisin Bran.
It's a
probably
solid cereal.
Yeah. Oh, and Rick Roll 515
Cracklin' Oat Bran
clarifies about what we were questioning. He goes, just to clarify, he says, those were the bottom five teams. The pool that I was in, the year was 2021. We've had to stick with those teams since. Until one of them wins the Super Bowl, they're stuck with those teams.
This is even better. Never mind.
So he's stuck with those teams, adding $50 to the pot every year till forever until one wins the Super Bowl.
Wow.
They win. The pot, he says, I believe is $1,500 now. Oh, that's a great contest.
Yeah, you guys are cool. Let's hang out.
Rackman Jones says, 18 years. He's probably listening on delay.
Do they? I hope you add more teams every year then, too.
No. They just have those five teams. That's
it. I hear you. But like, you can up that by $50 and then do another one.
D-Gen, Southern Gen. Kelly, your mom was right to cry when G-Baby died in Hardball, but having a hard time picturing anyone crying at any scene in any Michael Bay film. Saddest thing I remember was when they stopped casting Megan Fox. Happy New Year's, by the way, he says.
It was a disappointing day when she got left out.
Yeah.
The second film? Second film, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Danny, you're the only person I can see back there, okay? Don't give me that weird look, all right? You're the only person I can see their face. I'm looking for a nod or something from you.
Brian Schaefer adds, Niners line is moving towards Philly because of the Niners injuries. Pearsall and Trent, highly unlikely to play, and if they do, what are they going to give with their injuries? He says, Niners D is going to make the Eagles offense look like the 91 Skins. Brian, thanks for putting it in language I can understand. Jack Olaquire, Gil, after hearing Kelly's Chicago weather report for Saturday, glad Lori and I will be down in Pompano Beach cheering on the Bears from there. Go Bears. Florida is such a great place to be when the rest of the country is frozen over.
So nice.
Bish, Triple Q, in the last 10 years, teams that play in a dome are 1-14 on the road in the playoffs when the temperature's below 40. Chargers heading to Gillette on Sunday, and it's supposed to be below 30. Do the Chargers really play in a dome, though? Because there is air on the side.
I guess a good question.
I was just going to ask that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, a bit of a strange... Oh, should we give the picks real quick?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's recap the picks real quick. Again, my plays. I am on the Bears -1 versus the Packers. I'm on the Jags money line versus the Bills. I'm on the Niners +3.5 at the Eagles. I'm on the Chargers +3.5 at the Patriots. I'm on the Chargers money line at the Patriots. Those are all made earlier this week. Again, for tennis plays, as has been the case all week now that both tours are in Australia, I handicap them after the show. Picks will be up by around 6 p.m. Eastern. By the way, my two tennis futures, though, that I did make, Jannik Sinner to win 3 Grand Slams exactly at +450. Iga Swiatek, the GOAT, to win 2 Grand Slams at +350. Got to win 2 exactly, Iga. If you win 3, though, I'll still love you. And then I got Puka Offensive Player of the Year that I made on the show today at Kalshi at +1328. Bijan, by the way, Brian Flores also be the Ravens' next head coach I made right before the show, +488. And then these are bets I've already had. Bijan, Offensive Player of the Year, 150-1. Mike McDonald, Coach of the Year, 9-1. Let's go. Super Bowl finalist Chargers Rams 28-1. Super Bowl finalist Chargers Niners 66-1. And Indiana to win the college football playoff at 10-1. Let's go, fighting Wes Reynolds's. You.
Wes Reynolds will be joining us from the area of the game once again on Friday.
He's following Indiana like the Grateful Dead.
He sure is.
I like it.
Where are they playing, though? Why am I completely blanking on where that game's at?
Is that the Fiesta or is that the other? No, Fiesta's the other one.
Florida? Weren't they already down in South Florida for the Orange Bowl? Sorry, man. Atlanta.
Yes, Atlanta. Thank you,
Danny. Thank you
so much.
I knew Florida didn't sound
again,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, mine, NBA bets. Couple totals for me tonight. I just made this one, Clippers Knicks over 222.5. Looks like we are going to have James Harden playing in this game. Just a little low on the total for me in that one. And then the other one, Rockets Blazers, I'm going under 225.5. No Shingun, no Jeremy Grant in this game. Since December 14th, Houston, 11th best defensive rating. Portland's about middle of the road. I think Houston's size is going to be tough for some of the Blazers scorers to match up with. And this is big, trendy game. I really wasn't expecting this skill, but the total has gone under in 5 of the last 6 for Houston, 8 of the last 10 for Portland. So on a couple totals tonight, if you don't follow my NBA betting regularly, totals are always lower, less bet than side. So that's it for me so far. I am looking at the Celtics number. It's down to 8.5. I will probably be in on Boston tonight. I will be up at VSiN.com if I end up pulling the trigger on that. Okay, NFL this weekend. Packers and Bears, both sides teased up with the Jaguars. And then I have the Jags money line, Eagles laying 3 at 115, and then the Texans laying 3.
Joe C. on Twitter says, if you've been to SoFi, it's basically a dome. Oh, I've been to SoFi. K-pop concert. Took Gracie there twice. Name of the group twice. Not twice. Will Hill's best bets. Rams minus 10.5 at the Panthers.
Name of the group is twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rams minus 10.5 at the Panthers. Chargers plus 3.5 at the Patriots. These are Will. So he's laying the points with the Rams. He's taking them with the Chargers. And then college football semis. He has taken the points in both games. Ole Miss and Oregon. Thursday night, Friday night. Can't wait. That's from Will. And then Aaron Schatz did have one play, didn't he? Oh, Greg Peterson's Fab Five. We got to do Greg Peterson's Fab Five.
Roll through Aaron's real quick. Aaron's laying 3.5. He likes the Patriots in that game against the Chargers. And then Nick Whalen on one prop tonight. Stephon Castle over 17.5 points against the Lakers.
Greg Peterson? We don't have his five?
Greg Peterson's Fab Five.
There we go. Oklahoma, Mississippi State under 159.5. Rice, Wichita State under 142.5. Creighton plus the points versus Villanova. Washington, Purdue under 152.5. Three unders from Greg. And then ASU plus 18.5 versus AJ DeBonsa and BYU. All right. You ready to do it?
Kickers, bro.
With kickers. Real quick. A little strange numbers game tradition again, but so many of these games end up, you know, resting on the foots of the place kickers. We might as well look at their stats. Rams, Carolina, advantage Rams. Harrison Meavis, 12 of 13 this year, field goals. 1 for 1 from behind, from 50 plus. Never missed an extra point. Ryan Fitzgerald, probably among the worst stats of the remaining kickers that are available. So advantage Rams when it comes to the place kickers.
He's only kicked 5 from 50 plus. Man, I feel like I see him lining up that far every week.
Ryan Fitzgerald, yeah. Two of five from 50 plus. 24 of 29 overall, and he's missed 3 extra points. So advantage Rams there. Packers, Bears. This is dead even, I would say. Brandon McManus is 24 of 30. Cairo Santos is 25 of 30. McManus, 3 of 5, 50 plus. Santos, 4 of 6, 50 plus. Santos is 39 for 39 extra points. McManus, 32 of 33. So that's kind of a dead heat.
Yeah,
and by the way,
McManus,
exactly like the spread itself, right? As closely lined a game as there is. Now, Buffalo and Jacksonville is the biggest contrast of them all. Cam Little, 30 of 34, but 8 of 10 from 50 plus, including 2 bombs from 60 plus, I believe.
He's awesome.
50 of 51 on the extra points. Buffalo's got a problem. They had to sign Matthew Wright to the practice squad because Matt Prater might not be a go after he got hurt. Quad injury.
Wasn't he hurt earlier in the year,
yes,
too?
Okay, yes, yeah, remember it was Tyler Bass, their legacy kicker, who got hurt in the preseason. Then you went to Prater. Then they went to, was it Badgley in between?
Man, that sounds right.
And then
right
back to Prater, and now it could be Matthew Wright. But anyway, they don't compare to Cam Little. And then San Francisco, Philly, advantage San Francisco. Eddie Pinheiro, 28 of 29, including 6 of 7 from 50 plus. Has missed 4 extra points, though. Jake Elliott's had a tough year, 20 of 27, 4 of 8 from 50 plus. So advantage Niners. Again, just one little element to add to your handicapping. Chargers, Patriots, Cam Dicker. Over Borealis, but you know what? It's not as big of a gap as you would think. Borealis has been great.
Yeah, he has.
4 of 4 from 50 plus, 53 of 55 extra points. He has missed 5 field goals. Dicker, of course, Dicker the kicker, has only missed 3, and he's 5 of 6 from 50 plus. And then Houston-Pittsburgh, it's kind of even. Chris Boswell would be the guy you would go to because of the 50 plus. He's 9 of 11 50 plus. That's probably the differentiator. But Kiami Fairbairn, nothing wrong with him. And then the two bye teams, which of course don't play this week, we're talking about Seattle and Denver. Those are kind of evenish, I would say, between the two number one seeds. Although Jason Myers has missed 7 field goal attempts, but he is 9 of 12 from behind 50, so 50 plus. So that one's kind of even.
You're missing an L, Will.
Biggest contrast, Jacksonville-Buffalo. Feels like if that game comes down to the wire, which kicker you can trust, Cam Little is the answer. Prop points next. Enjoy from VSiN.